God is able, but if not, God is able, and we love that, but if not, where are you at with it? Daniel chapter 3. Folks, when you see me up here on my phone, most likely I'm setting these thermostats. You see, I have to crank it up at night because it was cold in here, but today it's hot, so I had to put the air back on. I saw somebody doing this earlier. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't take any more off. But you could put something on if you need my jacket. Right there it is. Help yourself. This crazy weather, up and down, up and down. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, the king of O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I love this. This is awesome. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee. In other words, here's what they did. But if not, listen to us, king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel chapter 3, 24 to 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Right now, God, hallelujah, Lord, touch and speak to some hearts here right now. God, that are taking a need to take a stand, Lord, and they're just thinking in their mind, what should I do in this situation? God, I want you to help and move right now. Hallelujah. Bring, Lord, that confidence and that trust in you like these young men. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had made a golden image 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide in Daniel 3. And everyone was commanded by the king Nebuchadnezzar to bow and worship the image when the music started playing, or else be cast into the fiery furnace to be burned alive. And Babylon has always been the enemy of God's people throughout man's existence. At the time of Daniel's writing, the city of Babylon had reached the height of its glory in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, about 600 years before Christ. And he made the city splendid with canals and temples and palaces and famous streets such as the processional fortifications such as the Ishtar Gate. And of course, we know of the Hanging Gardens, which were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The Empire of Babylon had been founded centuries before by Nimrod and mighty hunter, mighty rebel, mighty in sin, according to Genesis chapter 10. The key to Babylon's worship has always been the exaltation of the individual to become his own God. The very word Babel means the gate of God. And this was those first Babylonian citizens in Genesis 11 where they tried to build when they constructed their famous tower, the Tower of Babel. You see, an easier man-made way to get to God. Hear me what I'm saying. They're trying to construct, as many people in this world today are, an easier man-made way to get to God. I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. Come on. God brought confusion to their languages in order to scatter them. You see, the Babylonians has been working feverishly to reunify itself against God ever since. Both the political and religious aspects of Babylon will continue to war against the true people of God until the world government and the world church are defeated by God, as recorded in Revelation 17 and 18. You see, folks, Babylon is a powerful opponent, but Babylon will be defeated. Amen. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, amen, didn't realize it, but they were to become players in a war between God and Satan. And when they first heard the commandments of Nebuchadnezzar, nowhere are we told that this image, folks, was an image of Nebuchadnezzar himself. It is always referred to as the image that he set up. And since worshiping the image is obviously connected to worshiping Babylon God in Daniel 3, his image was not a likeness of Nebuchadnezzar himself, but of the gods that he served. Folks, there has always been, hear me today, there has always been a choice between the Babylonian way and the fire. Come on. Nebuchadnezzar was serious about his threat of destruction should the three Hebrew boys not submit. You see, the furnace was the preferred method of torturous death in Babylon, and even Jewish kings had been captured and put to death in this manner. You see, he would not tolerate, no exceptions, to disobey his decree. Jeremiah 29, 22, in them, and of them shall be taken up a curse by all captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. You see, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow. Why? Because joining the crowd around that image would have violated their first and second commands of the Ten Commandments given by their God. Amen. If they did that, they were disobeying the first and second commandments of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, 2 and 6, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Listen to where God says, I brought you out of things. I brought you out of sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He said, you hate me if you bow down to another image. Come on. And showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy 6, 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You see, Jesus called it the first, the preeminent chief principal commandment in Matthew, in Mark 12, 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Nebuchadnezzar made the worship of this image appetizing unto all the subjects. The ceremony was attended by beautiful music that drowned out any reservations the captives from other nations might have, except for the three Hebrew boys. Folks, listen to me today. They weren't the only Jewish captives in the crowd. But even though others bowed all around them, they stood tall. They stood alone. Everybody else is doing it, Pastor. But they didn't matter to these three servants of God. What image are you bowing to? It didn't say what the image looked like, but there's an image in your life that is wanting you to bow, that is wanting you to give your attention to it more than of God, that is demanding your time, that steals from God. That anything that takes away from you serving God the way he wants you to serve him is an idol. Come on. You don't have to agree with me. I don't care. I'm preaching the word of God. Come on. What is stealing your time away from God? In your heart, you know you ought to give it to God, whatever it is. You see, folks, everybody else might be doing it. You don't have to. What the Babylonian mind doesn't understand is that God's commands refused even to bend, not even to be, is it even advisable? Truth cannot be changed even slightly, or it becomes an error. Amen? The three Hebrew boys heard a noble music, by more noble than Babylon's music. They marched to the beat of a different drummer. God had commanded their forefathers in Exodus 23, verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. God doesn't care if everybody else is doing it. He said, don't do it. You see, the three Hebrew boys remembered Israel's recent history under the reign of Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah, when God had delivered their small nation from a much larger multitude, folks. In 2 Chronicles 14, 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all, Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. In 2 Chronicles 32 and 7, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, not for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. You see, it is a multitude, folks, that rebuked the blind man crying out to Jesus. Matthew 20, 31, and the multitude rebuked him because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou God, thou Son of David. It was a multitude that chose Barabbas, the zealot, over Jesus in Matthew 27, 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Multitudes, folks, are often wrong. There is only one multitude that I am interested in being a part of today. In Revelation 7, 9, and 10, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nation and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Hallelujah, there's only one multitude I want to be a part of today. Revelations 19, 6 and 9. And I heard as there was a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Allah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Amen. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen and the right of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Folks, when you don't bow, you stand out like a sore thumb. Come on. Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have said, well, we will just conform outwardly. Everybody's doing it. We'll just make it look like it. But inside, we won't want to be doing it. They could have said that. We will bow with our bodies, but we will continue to serve God in our hearts. After all, it's the heart that matters, right, Pastor? But see, they knew that the attitude would not please God. You can reason amongst yourself and say, it's the heart that matters. Everybody's doing it. We can just kind of just blend in a little bit, but we'll still serve God. Go ahead and reason yourself that way. Your attitude will not be pleasing to God. See, the weapon of the world is no longer cruelty, but contempt. It's no longer torture, but it's ridicule. It was not Nebuchadnezzar who noticed them standing. Hear me, listen to this. It was not Nebuchadnezzar who saw them standing and refused to bow. It was certain Chaldeans. You see, the people who opposed them, these three Hebrew boys, those people that opposed them were the ones who were bowing. It is when three Hebrew boys refuse to compromise that the wrath of the king is incurred. The king himself orders that furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal. And folks, it is not a numerical expression. It is a figure of speech portraying utmost intensity. You hear me, folks? Like I said, it wasn't the king that noticed. It was people around them who were bowing who went and told the king, these guys aren't bowing. And when you stand up against people around you, they're going to want the most intense punishment or ridicule or whatever it is coming against you, torture, contempt. We're in this day, folks. And I'll tell you what, we need to stand out like a sore thumb, like those Hebrew boys that say, God has my back. Who would you rather displease, those around you or God? You see, when they refused to compromise, that's when the king's wrath occurred. And folks, he said, heat as hot as possible. Make it a raging inferno. The Hebrew boys' declaration is, we know God is able to deliver us, but if not, we still will not bow. What are you facing? What image wants you to bow? God will deliver you. But what if he doesn't? I've heard people say, if he never does anything else for me, that's enough. If God never ever blesses me again, it's enough. You see, God can deliver you, folks. And we love the miracles and we love the blessings of God. But what if he doesn't deliver you? Will you still stand? Will you still declare, he is my God, and I will not bend my knee to any image? I will not bend my knee to any problem in the workforce. I will not bend my knee to any family matter. Amen. It goes against my God. I will not bend. Well, hey, they're heating up the furnace 7 times hotter. I will not bend. He's able to deliver me, but even if he doesn't, he's done so much for me. He's done so much for me. Come on, folks, we're in this day and age, and things are going to want you to bow. Amen, but I'm telling you, we better stand for God like never before. See, they did not know the miracle that God was going to perform. They didn't know. They just said, he's able. What's he going to do? I don't know, but I know he's able. They did not know whether he would honor them before the heathen king. They were standing for truth. And some people say, I will serve God if he helps me. That's noble, that's easy. Or I'll walk through the fire if God delivers me from the pain of the fire. Well, that's noble. That's easy. See, that is never the feeling of the true people of God, though. Peter said, I'll suffer if others have to suffer in John 21. God's people, folks, walk through the fire, whether it hurts them or not, because they know truth lives in the fire. John and Job chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine, and when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. Folks, we live in the last days when Babylon has made the furnace 7 times hotter. The devil has launched an all-out attack of sin against the world in an effort to destroy mankind. The divorce rate, more than 50%. Single-parent families, at least one half of all American children will spend part of their growing years in single-parent family homes. And young people who become pregnant to end the pregnancy and abortions. And nearly 1.3 million women choose abortion to end their pregnancy each year. Abortion was supposed to be to eliminate child abuse, every child, a wanted child. And every year, U.S. abortion is killing enough babies to populate the city of Dallas. Well, it's all over. They're fighting it, folks. Violent youth crime is on the rise. Dramatic increase in teen suicide. 10 to 24-year-olds, they literally think they have no reason to live. In 2020, 45,979 Americans died by suicide. Suicide is the 12th leading cause of death in the United States. Every day, approximately 125 Americans die by suicide. There is one suicide death in the United States every 11 and a half minutes. I'm telling you, folks, it's an all-out assault. Babylon has heated the furnace 7 times hotter. You see, the highest suicide rates per 100,000 in the United States are among white males, 25.4, I'm sorry. Followed by the native, Alaskan natives, 14.6, and black males, 12.6. Follow up, folks. There is one suicide death for every estimated 25 suicide attempts. And there is approximately 1,149,475 annual attempts in the U.S. Using a ratio of 25 to 1 ratio, or one attempt every 27 and a half seconds. Let me tell you something, folks. I cannot guarantee that your life, your body, your health, your mind, your family, your home, your marriage, your children, your possessions, your finances, your friends, your comfort will not be viciously attacked by the enemy. I can't guarantee it. In fact, folks, the truth is that I can just about guarantee the opposite. But I know the God that I serve. But it was when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to enter the fire. Hear me. It was when they were willing to enter the fire without any assurance, without any assurance of deliverance from their trial. That is when the miracle happened. When you could say, God, I'm going with you to the end. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know, Lord God, what comes against me. But I know one thing, God. If you want me to go into the fire, I'll go into the fire. I have no assurance. I know you're able, God, but I'll do whatever. That's when their miracle happened. The men who threw them in the furnace were slain. The fire didn't touch either any of them. You see, folks, you think about it. When the king saw them in there and he jumped up out of his chair, it wasn't only the fact that there was four people he saw. It was probably the fact that he even saw them walking in there. Because the ones that threw them in were killed. The men who threw them in the furnace were slain, but the fire didn't touch any of them. They fell down bound into the midst of a fiery furnace. But Nebuchadnezzar was amazed to see them rise up. He was amazed to see them loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and there's no hurt on them. You see, in heaven, God said, those are brave boys. God's looking down on me. Those are some brave boys. I think I'll go down, and I think I'll stand by their side. Come on, folks. But when Nebuchadnezzar saw them, they came up out of the fire by themselves without their bonds. You see, the only thing they lost when they stood up for God was their bonds. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't care what comes against you nowadays. The only thing you're going to lose when you stand up for God is your bonds, those things that seem to bind you. Stand for your God. You see, there is freedom in the furnace when God is there with you. They were loosed in the furnace, folks. Amen. And when they came out of that fire, everyone saw these men upon those bodies that fire had not touched. There was no power from the fire. There was nothing in their hair. Their hair was not singed. Neither were their coats changed. The smell of the fire had passed on them. The fire couldn't touch them. God did not have, listen to me, God did not save them from the fire. He saved them in the fire. Amen? He saved them in the fire. You see, folks, here, this resulted in something. It resulted in a testimony to all of Babylon. And let me tell you something. God is a miracle-working God. And why does he work the miracles? For the glory of himself. God is just looking for people that'll say, God, I'll walk through anything with you. I just want you to receive the glory. Why is the fire so much hotter today? Because Satan knows that his time is short. Stand with me today. Satan, hear me, folks. Satan is a powerful opponent. But Satan labors under one crippling fact. He faces a dreaded sentence of eternal imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Satan works under the terrifying reality every moment of his existence, and he knows that this is his last chance. And that's why every time you pray, every time you obey God, every time you worship and praise your God, whatever you do for God, Satan's wrath is stirred up against you. And Jesus ties Satan's fall not only to Calvary's victory, but to the exploits done by his disciples. Anything you do for Christ ties Satan to the fall of Calvary. In John chapter 12, 31 and 32, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Let people see you living for God. Let people see you take a stand against the things of this world. In Luke chapter 10, 17 through 19, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the powers of Christ. For the accusers of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame. Come on, folks. I'm looking for some overcomers today. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And listen to this. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people could say they had the blood applied to them. What is your testimony? What have you done for God? By their testimony, it says too. And listen to this. And they loved not their lives unto the death. What's that mean? That means they are willing to sacrifice for God. Is it all about you living today, or is it about your God? Who is first in your life? What image in this world are you standing against? Remember, I said, when you stand up for God, you stand out. Do people know anything different about you? Listen, folks, you have to be different than the world. See, some people try to say, well, we can live any way we want, still serve God. That's a lie from hell. Anywhere you go in the world, folks, there's a difference. You ever look for a place to travel to? And when you look through the pamphlets, you say, man, their houses are even different. Oh, they dress totally different. They act. Now, you didn't get that from talking to them because you're just looking at pictures. But God's people stand out. And we do that by standing up for God and what is right, no matter what the world says. Let me tell you something today. God can take you, bless you, keep you from anything. But what if he doesn't? Will you walk through the fire? Will you stand out and say, I am going to do for God like never before? How about it today, folks? Is there anybody willing to stand out? You want to come up to this altar and say, God, I'm going to, don't come up here and kneel. Come up here and stand before the Lord. And say, God, I'm going to stand for you no matter what comes my way. This altar is open.